This is The Immigration Conversation, presented by Fragomen, a series of talks and discussions by leading immigration lawyers and professionals from around the world. We'll bring you the most up-to-date business immigration news, issues of concern, and strategies in the world of global immigration and mobility.
Hello, my name is Natalie Pike, and I'm part of the Fragomen Africa team working within the South Africa inbound space. And today you're listening to a Fragomen podcast. But I'm not alone. I'm joined by Teresa Whaley and Didione Maloba, who are part of the Africa coordination team in the Fragomen Africa office. Today we'll be discussing visas on arrival for South Africa, as well as the Lusophone and Francophone countries in our region. Now, I know for South Africa, visa on arrival means you can enter South Africa for tourist purposes or business purposes with limited allowable activities for a specific period of time. Now, Teresa, maybe before I get into South Africa, maybe you can just describe to us what a visa on arrival means to you and what countries you specifically deal with and what the definition is.
Yes, so in some jurisdictions in Africa, particularly Lusophone, Francophone, and even some of the Anglophone countries, they provide a distinction between a visa exemption and a visa on arrival. A visa exemption would be where there's an agreement between two countries, and it's generally a stamp in the individual's passport, allowing them a certain number of days, and in some cases it can be extended, and in other instances it cannot. Whereas a visa on arrival is more of a formal process to request from the authorities to be issued the visa on arrival. But again, in other instances, you might find that nationalities can actually get a visa endorsed and pay a certain fee once they arrive. So there's definitely different approaches and different ways that we interpret the term depending on which country you are referring to. If I use Angola as an example, South Africa and Angola have an agreement with one another where their nationals are visa exempt and are granted generally 30 days once they've entered. Whereas other nationalities qualify for e-visas, such as Brazilians, some EU nationals, and another list of nationalities, which means that they need to apply online to get an approval letter before they arrive and have that visa endorsed on their arrival. So there's definitely different ways to look at it.
That I like that you touched on the e-visa as well as the exemption countries, because I know for South Africa specifically, the system is pretty much the same. There's the visa exempt countries who are then allowed to enter South Africa, just travel to South Africa basically and get a stamp once they arrive at the airport, and then they're allowed a specific number of days depending on which country you're coming from. But also you're allowed to enter on business purposes. So this means that you can attend meetings, you can attend trainings, conferences, but no actual work. And then there are some countries who can also apply for e-visas. So I think there are a lot of similarities, it looks like, between South Africa and the countries that you deal with. Now, Didione, specifically to your countries, are there particular similarities as well?
Sure. Very, very interesting questions. Yes, when you look at the term visa on arrival itself, for me, it's a broad term, maybe by lack of better terminology that they use it, because it can be classified in different categories. Teresa has already mentioned two categories, the visa exemptions as well as the visa on arrival per se. But there is also a pre-approval visa, which is another category. I've got to look at the Francophone countries, for instance, Senegal, the Republic of Congo, and Ivory Coast, for instance, where you have to know which nationality you're coming from. Are you a visa exempt or are you going to just receive a visa? Because if you are a visa exempt, the problem is that you just arrive, you get a stamp in, and that's fine. You are in the country for a specific time, period of time, where you're going to either work for some jurisdiction that even allow shorter period of time for you to work. You'll be hands-on, but visa on arrival. Some also jurisdictions, it's only for business or for family or tourism purposes. So yeah, basically the view is the same on the on this visa on arrival.
Okay, so you've both mentioned some specific countries, but where does one get this information? How do I know whether I'm visa exempt, or how do I know whether I must apply for an e-visa? With South Africa, the Department of Home Affairs website has listed all the countries that are basically visa exempt, and then there's duration of which you can be in the country, whether it's extendable. And we often then, you know, refer to that to get that information. So with the countries that you deal with, how does one get to know which category they fall into in order to arrive in that country with a visa on arrival?
Thank you, Natalie, for the question. We need to know that we are dealing with Africa, and everything is not in an open book as it can happen. We see it in, overseas or in different European countries or American countries. For most of the regions, some countries are in bilateral agreement. For those countries, we know for sure that they are visa exempt or visa on arrival. For instance, in Senegal or in Ivory Coast, every foreign national coming from an ECOWAS region, for instance, know that they are visa exempt. That is published. That can be found on the official website. But also in some countries like Senegal, one needs to be checking every now and then to find out whether his country is still eligible to be part of the visa on arrival or not. I'll give an example of South Africa versus Senegal. The relationship were good and then went down, deteriorated because of some, you know, political tensions. And based on that, South Africa is no longer a straightforward visa on arrival. You need to apply for a pre-approval, and that needs to be going through scrutiny by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the National Police, and even the Interpol installed there in Senegal. So that is that. I don't know, Teresa, your view on it?
I think to add to that, in some cases you could refer to a website, but again, these might not always be up to date. Another avenue that you can explore is, you know, calling or going to the embassy of that country in your current country, you know, let's say the Angolan embassy in the UK, and so forth. And lastly, approaching your immigration service providers like ourselves. You know, we do have a platform in which you can put in your details, your nationality, where you are, and so forth, and you can get an assessment as to what type of visa you might need.
Very good point.
So those are generally the approaches that we take when it comes to determining. And of course, lastly, as our team, as the Africa Coordination Center, we deal with people that are on the ground, advisors on the ground, that will give us the most up-to-date information directly from the authorities in the country that you wish to travel to.
Thank you both for that. I think that's very interesting. Now, the one question I really have is, why is this visa on arrival? Why has it become so popular? Why has it become such a popular option when traveling to countries in Africa, and does it have benefits for some of our clients and companies that want to send people?
The first benefit for this types of regimes is really to get on the ground as quickly as possible. The turnaround times for visas on arrival, for pre-approvals, is quite quicker than going to the embassy and obtaining a visa from the embassy. If I use Mozambique for an example, the visa on arrival scheme is specific to the oil and gas sector, but you can obtain a business visa and even a work visa on arrival in a turnaround time of 2 to 3 weeks. Whereas if you go to the embassy, you might experience 4 to 6 weeks to obtain the same visa type. So that means that where there are urgent meetings, or you know, a quick emergency situation to deal with on the ground, you no longer now need to wait, you know, up to 2 months to get the appropriate visa before you can, you know, travel and find yourself on the ground. So the processing time is definitely the first benefit, and sometimes it's also less document intensive. Diplomatic missions abroad reserve the right to request for additional documents depending on where they are located, whereas, you know, immigration in country will not require as many documents to submit. So that's also another benefit. Diodone, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Very interesting questions. But for most of our clients here are in the oil and gas sector. And that particular sector can require an engineer to be on the site as soon as possible and does not really require a person to go through the routine of applying for a regular visa. So that's the reason why this visa on arrival has been catapulted to the first position and become so popular, because anytime the person is needed, especially if he's in a region where he's allowed to be in country without pre-arrangement, then it's only the flight ticket, and in a matter of time, you're in that country, you secure your business, and then you work. That's, for me, processing time. And the urgency of the person to be on the ground made this visa on arrival to be very, very popular.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I think the time factor is the most important. With some of the clients we deal with specifically who want to enter South Africa, there's always an urgency to send someone for, you know, a meeting, a conference, or some sort of training that needs to be attended. And with the world, with the way people are always moving around the world and the urgency for business activities to take place, I think, you know, this visa has a lot of benefits, especially considering the time factor. But with every benefit, there's always a limitation and disadvantage. So in terms of this visa, what do our clients need to know particularly about the limitations or the disadvantages of the visa on arrival, specifically for your countries, Diodone?
Oh, thank you. Well, before I go straight to the disadvantages of this particular type of visa, I just want to support again one of the comments that you've been making and you've made just before you gave me to speak, is that it is production. Okay, companies are there to be productive, effective. Now, if at an offshore site there is a breaking down or anything that requires urgent assistance, one will be happy to jump into this particular visa, because no need to apply for to approach any embassy. It is straightforward. You travel and you have it resolved, and it does not going to impact your productivities. So going to the disadvantages of this particular visa, because everybody seems to look at it only on the positive side, but I think we need also to look at the reverse side as well. In my jurisdiction, I will name a few, like in Senegal, it can be also process oriented, depending on which category. So Senegal, for instance, has broken down the visa on arrival under three specific categories. There is visa exempt, there is visa on arrival per se, and also the pre-approval. For the visa exemption, is that you receive a stamp in. You enter the country just with a stamp in. It's not a visa, so it cannot be extended in country. It's one of the inconveniences. It means if it happens that the business requires you to remain there for a couple of days, you're going to be illegal. You need to leave the country and then re-enter again. So this is one of the inconveniences. Unless you are under category B, where you get a visa on arrival per se, where you get just a visa stamp in, that's going to be fine. But if you're on the category A or C, C requires pre-approval. It means we're going to apply in country at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and it's going to require some investigations. That also can be a bit process-oriented, if I may say. So these are the two disadvantages that I can mention. If you just receive a visa entry, a visa stamp, it's not extendable. You just need to leave at the expiry, otherwise you face penalties. Or it's going to be also process-oriented somehow, depending on the category where you fit on. So I don't know your view, Teresa.
I think some of the other things to consider that I would add would be that oftentimes the authorization letter or the approval letter needs to be used once issued, depending on the jurisdiction you need to enter within 14 days, like in Ghana or in Mozambique, it needs to be used within 30 days. So you might, you know, have a situation, you've applied for one and you did not, for some reason, end up traveling. That doesn't necessarily mean you can use it for a next trip. You know, that's something that you need to consider, that it does have a time frame in which you are meant to use the document. And of course, it's always important to still look at whatever limitations that the authorities put on the document itself, perhaps single entry in some instances. That means, you know, you will only be able to enter in initially, but it doesn't allow you to come in and out, you know, multiple times. That is the case for the visa arrival in Ghana. But in other instances, you might actually be able to get multiple entries, like in Mozambique, you can request it. So of course, the usual visa guidelines still apply, where, you know, there's an enter on or before date. And there's also other restrictions that might be added onto the visa itself that you need to be aware of once you have arrived in country.
I think those points are so important, because I think from a client perspective as well, it's important to know what limitations, what disadvantages there are, and what a client should be concerned about when applying for the visa on arrival. Now, Didi, you touched on production a little bit as one of the benefiting factors, but I want to ask though, so when is it most appropriate to apply for a visa on arrival if I'm a client, or if I'm an individual wanting to travel to Africa?
Sure, thank you for the question. Allow me to go back with my case study country, which is Senegal. For American citizen, most of European citizens and ECOWAS nationals, they don't need to worry about these questions. So anytime they want to travel, they travel. But for applicants who are outside this jurisdiction, who require a pre-investigations and whatever, they need to start the process a little bit in advance. For instance, in Senegal, it can take 4 weeks for this pre-approval to be given or granted so that the person can be allowed to travel. In the Republic of Congo, it takes probably 2 weeks maximum, depending on the backlog at the administrative office for the visa to be issued on paper. So it depends on which nationality you're coming from, and the jurisdiction, the bilateral relationship that define your country with the particular country you're going into at a particular time. Teresa, you share the same view or different view on this?
No, it's the same. Nothing to add. Thank you.
All right. And just to close off, what advice would you give to companies or clients who want to make use of the visa on arrival?
I think firstly, it's of course to plan in advance. to research the correct information about the nationality that you need to bring of the personnel that you need to bring in. Be aware of the processing time. Also that immigration authorities can still be unpredictable. So even though it is a quicker processing time, there are other factors to consider, such as, you know, the signatory, change of signatory at any point in time, which can sometimes delay applications slightly. So it's still important to plan well in advance, but do take advantage of the fact that, you know, you can get a resource on the ground more quickly, and also that you still adhere to the requirements and the limitations of the visa.
Thank you.
If I may step in quickly, the only constant in Africa is change. So the best thing to do for client is refer to Fragomen. Whoever want to travel, please send us the list of nationalities. We will always check and confirm with you which one applies for visa on arrival, and if there has been any change, because it's really constant there, we will also advise which is the best option to adhere to.
Thank you for that, Dinyone. And like he mentioned, I'd like to emphasize, for more information, please do reach out to us at africainfo@fragomen.com. And thank you for listening in.
The Immigration Conversation podcast is presented by Fragomen, the leading firm dedicated exclusively to immigration services worldwide. This episode is current as of the date of recording. With frequent changes in global immigration, be sure to keep up to date by visiting our website at www.fragomen.com and subscribing to the Immigration Conversation on your favorite podcast service to hear the latest episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. This podcast does not constitute legal advice or give rise to an attorney-client relationship between any listener and our firm. If you have any questions, please contact the global immigration professional with whom you work at Fragomen.